Good afternoon, everyone. What I'm going to discuss in my presentation is really talk about collaboration processes. Jerry has talked about the many aspects of the Health Information Exchange Project. We're fortunate to be an awardee on the CDC's Situational Awareness Project for Health Information Exchanges with Indiana and Washington. In our New York State overall strategy for health information technology transformation, we have a number of projects that are geared towards the development of our state statewide health information network. So what I'm going to discuss today is the collaboration process that we developed to help govern that process. And I'll start off by giving a little bit more detail as far as what that entails, the number of projects that it's involved in, and why we felt we really needed to have some sort of formal collaboration process, and then also get in some of the details of the actual process that was undertaken. So first of all, I'll start with the need for collaboration. New York engaged in this health information technology transformation. It really realized fairly quickly in the process that in order to do what we were hoping to achieve was going to involve multiple interdependent projects that were going to be running concurrently over multi-year time period, many of those projects having similar goals and objectives, and utilizing a vast number of stakeholders in a multitude of organizations, many of which could at any point in time be engaged in multiple individual projects. Obviously, establishing a statewide health information network involves a lot of technology, and adhering to the industry standard of maintaining buzzwords like interoperability, it became very important to determine how we're going to meet interoperability requirements. So there's a focus effort to standardize the technology implementations. And with the number of projects involved, the number of personnel, organizations, et cetera, the need for developing consensus in developing policies as well as consensus in decision making was very important. So New York recognized early in the game that there had to be some sort of effective governance structure in place to make this effort successful. So as part of the New York Health Information Technology Transformation Strategy, it was really driven by the establishment of the Healthcare Efficiency Affordability Law for New Yorkers, which we refer to as HEAL New York. And this was essentially a capital grants program, which provided a $1 billion investment over 4 years. Be assured that was before the economy turned down, and now I'm sure our legislature is trying to figure out how to cover all that money. But the goal was to really reform and reconfigure the healthcare delivery system in New York, and the focus was on a regional basis to enhance the quality and patient care being provided on a regional basis, and the establishment and advancement of interoperability through an information infrastructure was a key element of that. But obviously, you know, we're establishing a health information exchanges and information flow. That's just the technology. But the underlying need is to prove value with this investment. So, you know, how does that, how do we transform that clinical data that's being exchanged on the information infrastructure into meaningful information and provide feedback to clinical care and to support the public health mission. So initially, the initial HEAL grants, as they're referred to, helped to formulate and establish some of our regional health information organizations that that cover the majority of our state, and also fund some of their technology implementations as far as building the underlying infrastructure. The initial, I think, HEAL 1 grants was for some of like about $52 million and translated into 26 individual projects. Last year, there was an additional $106 million investment, which was mapped to about 19 projects. And again, that continued the development of the technology interface or infrastructure for the health information exchanges, and encouraging the development and implementation of electronic health record systems. In addition to the technology infrastructure, we started to tie some of these projects very specifically to use cases. And the use cases are the process by which we're vetting and testing the value of this technology interface and data exchange. So what's the value being provided by the exchange of data? And by going through a set of use cases that I'll cover in a little bit more detail later, you actually test the processes and the data flows to see if do you have the right data? Do you have all the data? Do you have the data in a timely manner? So really testing those use cases is where value is really derived out of all of this. Next month, there is another round of grants being awarded. We just completed the evaluation process. This will result in another 10 to 12 projects with funding up to about $60 million. These projects are, again, there's that underlying implementation on the technical side as far as utilizing electronic health record systems implemented at the physician's office level. But it's focused on improving care coordination and management through what's referred to as a patient-centered medical model. And that's essentially having the information for a particular patient available with all their specific clinical providers, whether it be their general practitioner, specialist, et cetera. And what's interesting about these grants is that actually, as in the grant applications, they actually selected a target population of patients with either some sort of high risk or high cost chronic disease condition like asthma, diabetes, congestive heart failures, at-risk pregnancies. So it's a pretty interesting process to really test the data exchange, prove value to it, and again have measurement metrics in there to determine the actual value being provided. Jerry talked a little bit about the Health Information Exchange project we were participating with CDC. And again, the intent of this project is advancing situational awareness in public health surveillance. And it provides for public health's window into the state health information network for the exchange and collection of clinical information. Much of this clinical information we don't currently have. So it provides us access to get more detailed clinical data on a more timely basis. And the objective of the project is also to establish a bidirectional exchange so that in exchange for the clinical practitioners providing data to the health departments and public health, we in turn are obligated to provide back value back to the clinical care providers. So in this particular project, we're utilizing a kind of a collaborative community of practice to foster the development of some of these services for data exchange. As I think Jerry showed a few of them, the line list and the ability to anonymize and re-identify information. But this the intent of this implementation is really to give us the ability, to collect data on an ongoing basis, but also be able to drill down to get very detailed clinical data on a specific patient. So like if a patient had a reportable disease condition requiring further detailed analysis. And this project will also, as part of our statewide health information network, interface with the nationwide health information network to provide CDC and our other federal partners with data as well. So this is kind of a busy diagram showing what New York State is trying to do. And at the heart of this is what I refer to as the statewide health information network. And this is really a logical network of networks, which link into a series of health information exchanges, which are governed by our regional health information organizations. And the regional health information organizations provide that interface down to the hospital, physician group layers, laboratories, diagnostic centers, et cetera. And then public health's window into that state health information network is referred to as the Universal Public Health Node. And that's a series of services that allow us to query for information from a variety of data sources through the regional health information organizations. And that information exchange will support surveillance and reporting activities, facility planning, resource availability, utilization, et cetera, and such thing as some of our disease reporting registries and generally support health preparedness at the state and the local health level. And then information will again be provided to CDC and our federal partners through the NIN Connect Gateway. So that diagram is fairly complex, and in trying to deal with this complexity, we realized that, you know, there's a number of things that we deemed as keys to successful implementation of not one project but many projects, and we had to be successful, we really had to have the ability to influence the adoption of standards and standardized processes and approaches so that everybody wouldn't be kind of reinventing the wheel on each one of these projects. So, you know, with funding and specific regulatory initiatives, we can have a certain control of that influence, but it's really more of a collaborative effort that's really needed to try to get people to embrace standardization and participate in the collaborative process. The other pieces that we thought was very important is to be able to certify some of these processes either at the EHR implementation and the actual reorganizations. Jerry referred to a certification process that we've constructed to do data certification as well. Again, trying to leverage lessons learned from one implementation to the next so that ideally you get better as you get smarter as you get further into it. I was going to say as you get older, but I've disproved that theory pretty quickly myself, so I won't use that. The other thing is ongoing evaluation and refinement. You know, that's a key element to really look at as you get through different aspects of a large-scale integration project like this to really to you know, see what worked and what didn't work, and then roll back into your process, refine your process, refine your implementations to inject improvements into the process. So again, we're using a collaborative process to help get some of the software layers and developed, but if not necessarily developed, the whole architectural specification, functional requirement specification is a collaborative process. So based upon this kind of level of complexity, then what was New York's approach to being able to deal with this? And what New York decided to do is it formed a statewide public health, public-private partnership to facilitate this governance of these multiple projects and initiatives and formulate a collaborative process. And what was formed was what's referred to as the New York eHealth Collaborative. And again, that's a public-private partnership with the Department of Health. But the idea was that you'd kind of have a more of a private component actually managing and interfacing to the various organizational entities. At the heart of this collaborative is what's referred to right here in the middle as the Policy and Operations Council, which is a number of organizations, representatives are part of that, and include our RIOs and some of the CHITAs and things like that. But they drive the efforts of a series of collaborative work groups. And the chart here shows the four key work groups, the clinical priorities work groups, protocols and services, privacy and security, and the EHR collaborative. And I'll drill down on those in a little bit more detail shortly. But the intent is to try to leverage these work groups to work very closely with the various projects that are shown on the right side of the screen, which involve you know, our New York's participation in the NIN work groups and the multiple projects generated out of our HEAL funding initiative and the CDC HIE project as well. So these collaborative work groups actually do the heavy lifting and are responsible for developing a lot of the policies, procedures, and standards that are used for implementation. And then the projects are part of those groups and provide feedback so that you have that review, refine cycle, and improve cycle. As part of this collaborative group, we also have the what we refer to as the Education and Communication Committee, which is really a lobbying group to propose to support communication on health information technology and health information exchanges and solicit support for that. There's also a couple of strategic initiatives examining things like different options for financial sustainability for our RIOs and health information exchange and maintaining the health information technology. There's actually an evaluation component. There's actually an organization referred, called HITECH, which actually does evaluation of the New York strategy as well as individual projects. The HEAL 5 projects are all going through an evaluation process today. And then there's Consumer Advocacy Committee, which is actually reaching out to consumers and consumer groups for support on this initiative as well. So some of the key things is, as far as the goals of this this collaborative is this is the mechanism by which we convene stakeholders to collaborate on those key areas of the health IT agenda. It provides a forum to discuss and collaborate policies and priorities. And we coordinate and harmonize the implementations of the regional health information exchanges and the production of the various quality and health IT tools. Again, if you're providing people money to do things, then you have some clout. So as part of the HEAL New York Phase 5 initiative awards, the awardees were required to participate in this collaboration process, but we also invited a broad range of other folks to participate, and we actually participate on a volunteer basis. We have a number of vendors, we have a lot of other clinician groups, we have hospital associations, we have various government entities, both within the health department at the state and local level and other state agencies as well. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on this slide, but it kind of just shows the roles and responsibilities. Like I said, the work groups are responsible for the day-to-day real work that's done, meeting, producing project artifacts, deliverables, et cetera. And as you move up the chain there, you get into more of a governance structure, but there's actually a board that is at the highest level of the organization and is really responsible for things like policy decisions and establishing priorities for the work groups. The state health-wide collaborative process, and I'm going to cover from the rest of this time, is really kind of focused on these four, what we refer to as work groups. Drilling down a little bit on those, the first one is the clinical priorities work group. And the focus, I think, of this clinical priorities work group is, like I said before, is really defining the business value that hopefully being achieved by implementing these types of health information exchanges. So they help, you know, identify the areas for opportunity and improvement and drill down on those specific areas. And also responsible for developing at a detailed level the clinical requirements associated with each of these use cases. You know, really go through in detail the workflow and identify the workflow issues and the different solutions from either a technical and procedural perspective in implementing the solutions. And this includes not only the statewide health information network, but then gets down to the detail level as far as electronic health records and personal health records, et cetera. This is just a list of what I call the use cases that drives the clinical priorities work group in justifying the clinical investment. The first area that's probably got the heaviest work so far is really what we refer to the interoperable EHR for Medicaid. And this is really medication management. It's really providing to clinicians medication history through the Medicaid program as well as pharmacies and to provide an exchange of that prescription information between clinical care providers. So hopefully to get a more complete prescription medication history for a patient to avoid things like conflicts in drugs being prescribed for an individual patient. Connecting New Yorkers and clinicians is really giving individual patients in New York access to their and better control of their actual health records. And then the Health Information Exchange for Public Health is really the implementation of the public, what we call our public health use case, which is kind of a combination of the biosurveillance use case and some of the principles developed under the NIN project. So the biosurveillance use case, minimum data set, data retrieval, as well as getting to the level of being able to retrieve detail patient level at the CCD level. And then some of the other focus areas relate to the implementation of EHRs to be able to get linkage with our immunization registries to get a more complete picture of immunizations and vaccinations. And then as far as the EHR's implementations is to really get the quality metrics built into the EHR systems and then have the ability to do performance measurements and achieve the outcomes. So as part of these HEAL projects, they're actually trying to build cases, as noted this morning in the plenary session, as far as the EHR systems will provide kind of that information and justification for formulating new reimbursement models so that physicians can get reimbursed for preventative activities as opposed to the treatment of specific disease. And then last but not least is the is propagating the clinical decision support interfaces with EHRs. And the intention there is to provide analytical tools to help provide guidance and treatment. Last, I'm just going to kind of run through these the rest of these work groups and give you an idea of some of the areas. Essentially what we've done with the work groups is kind of done a divide and conquer approach to cover the different aspects of these initiatives, which are common, typically common across. And another big one is privacy and security. Obviously, the what's tantamount here is protecting the privacy and security of patient data and giving the consumer more control over that. So New York spent a lot of time in developing, you know, their own consent policies. They're consistent, I think, with the federal policies as well. And formalizing an actual statewide consent form whereby patients can opt in or opt out providing data to various physician groups, et cetera. And we established guidelines and procedures and rules for governance of consent. They also spend a lot of their effort involved with the 4 A's, authorization, authentication, access, and audit. Initially, they assessed current practices and formulated policies and procedures and provided operational guidance then, which gets kind of drives some of the technical implementations of how the RIOs implement the authentication and all that good stuff. And last but not least, they focus on contractual and regulatory solutions. They help in formulating the contracts with the actual RIOs for these projects and how what specific guidelines they're given as far as implementation and then development of the policies and procedures that govern these projects. There's also a regulatory framework for actually enforcing that. And then as a result of these policy discussions, sometimes that results in the requirement for legislative changes as well. The protocol and services work group is really the technical implementation team. And essentially what they're doing is developing some key services that are part of the CHIXP, which is our Common Health Information Exchange Protocol. So they're taking different software components, software and layers, and implementing those. And they go through a standard work group process where there's assessment of the initial position. There's a scan of existing standards. We attempt to use HITSP standards, et cetera, wherever possible. A draft protocol specification is defined, prototyping is done, and those specifications are subject to a public comment period, and where again they go through refinement, and then finally the protocol specifications are finalized and published. There's four key work groups. The work group for development of the Universal Public Health Node went through a full architectural and functional specification, implementation guide, development process. Again, medication management is the exchange of medication history information and e-prescribing, things like that. There's a series of services related to identity, anonymization, re-identification. And then there's some general information objects for retrieval of data associated with retrieving clinical our continuity care documents. The last collaborative group is responsible for electronic health record implementation, system implementation. Again, this is a fairly large group. It involves both vendors, public health personnel, and a lot of our public health partners. They developed a complete requirement set for electronic health records. And what they're trying to do is to really assess and continually refine what they refer to as the EHR implementation chain, which is the series of phases you see at the top of in the graphic at the top here, where they go through and, you know, EHRs, you know, it's just like any commercial off-the-shelf implementation. It doesn't guarantee success, right? It's a piece of software. You install it. It's not the success of it. Is, you know, the implementation configuration is a small part of it, because typically you have to see how this implementation is going to fit into your existing architecture, your existing systems, where the interfaces are required. It also requires typically a lot of potential changes in your business process and your workflow. So what we propose is that folks really take a phased approach as shown here and actually go through a step-by-step and wrap that in some solid project management so that there's, you know, measurable deliverables and milestones along the way to ensure that the success. There's been a lot of failed, and we have some projects that are actually part of their objectives are to revitalize some failed or near to fail EHR implementation. So that's just a quick summary on those four key work groups. This is the approach that New York has taken in from a collaboration to try to ensure success on these projects. Is there any questions that I can answer? All right. Thank you.